The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Martha Potter from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State Magazine. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting this podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Today we will begin to explore the June issue of Our State Magazine. This month's issue is all about North Carolina lighthouses. The cover of the magazine shows a picture of the Bodie Island Lighthouse with the caption, "Dawn on the Coast Sharpens the Senses." Come sunrise, the Bodie Island Lighthouse goes dark until dusk, but the beacon's beauty shines on. And on the table of contents page, we have a picture of Bald Head Island Lighthouse. It said Bald Head Island is home to North Carolina's oldest lighthouse, which is called Old Baldy, and which was first lit in 1817. First up is the welcome message called A State of Light by the editor, Elizabeth. Every morning before she pours herself a bowl of cereal, before she takes her first sip of coffee, my mother raises the blinds in her kitchen, a ritual as instinctual as drawing a breath. With a gentle pull, the shades ascend to the top of the window, flooding the room with sunlight, welcoming a new day. She lives just up the street from me. I can see her house from the end of my driveway. Every morning before I spoon yogurt into my bowl, before I take my first sip of coffee, I step outside and glance to see if her blinds are open. It's a comforting ritual I've created for myself, reassurance that my mother is awake and up. It's how I know that all is well and that everything is as it should be. The house I grew up in had 19 windows, and my mom kept them gleaming, Windexed and paper toweled every season, starting in the spring after the pollen settled. She cleaned the windows after heavy summer rains and cleaned them again after a winter storm. "You're going to wear a hole in those windows," my dad teased, yet both of them were committed to ensuring that no smudges or dust obstructed the light. For my dad's part, he insisted our windows stay unadorned. No cafe curtains hung above our kitchen sink. No drapery panels puddled to the floor in our living room. We didn't give any thought to a need for privacy. Our house sat on top of a hill in rural Randolph County, the Yowari Mountains in the distance. You couldn't see into the house from the road, and our nearest neighbor was a half mile away. In our house, sunlight was the ever-present guest. In North Carolina, we're known as the Old North State and the Tar Heel State. This time of year, as the days grow longer and warmth reaches every garden row and grapevine, every porch and pine forest, I like to think that we may also be the State of Light, living up to the proclamation in our state toast as the summer land where the sun doth shine. I hope you've stood, as I have, on the sandy shores of Oak Island, Emerald Isle, Cape Lookout, to watch the dawn break. Maybe you've driven down the Blue Ridge Parkway, marveling at misty rays illuminating the valleys, or paused along Highway 276 in Brevard to admire the glimmering curtain of Looking Glass Falls, liquid light cascading into a crystal clear pool below. You might have found yourself among the towering trees in the Great Smoky Mountains, shaded but for the sunlight filtering through the leaves. Even in the shadows, light finds us. A beacon of assurance that all is well, that everything is as it should be. Or maybe, like me, you've found yourself closer to home, chasing fireflies at the end of a summer evening, laughing before collapsing backward on the cool grass, gazing upward, lost in the vastness of a night sky. Overhead, millions of stars keep watch, twinkling like distant lanterns, out of reach, but always in view. Oh, how they shimmer. Oh, how they shine. That's Elizabeth Hudson, editor-in-chief of Our State Magazine. And now I'll take you on a descriptive journey through this month's pictorial essay, entitled, It's a Beautiful Morning. Dawn on the coast sharpens the senses. Colors look brighter. Crashing waves sound louder. And the potential for the day ahead seems infinite. And that first picture of the photo essay is of Crystal Pier at Riceville Beach. Crystal Beach, it was built in 1939 and has seen countless sherbet-colored skies, and that's exactly what we have here is a picture from the pier looking out toward the sea and toward the sunrise. And early morning surfers are out catching waves, and the colors are sherbet colors. It's sort of a peachy and purpley sunrise with some minimal clouds in there. A couple of folks walking on the pier to catch the sunrise. Some birds flying. Britt's Donuts at Carolina Beach. A Carolina Beach vacation isn't complete without a trip to the boardwalk to indulge in the glazed goodness of a Britt's Donut. Opened in 1939, the shop has built a loyal following by keeping things simple. Classic glazed is the only style on offer, and those who eagerly jump in line will tell you these sweet treats more than stack up. For more information, check out britsdonutshop.com. And as a side note, they only take cash. Wake and Bake at Carolina Beach in Wilmington. After crossing the Sea Breeze Bridge into Carolina Beach, travelers eager to satisfy the cravings of their inner child pull into Wake and Bake Donuts. Most of the creative concoctions start with a yeast donut base that's coated in icing and topped with sprinkles, cereal, marshmallows, candy, or bacon. Fueled by his passion for baking, Danny Tangredi started the business in 2014, having never made a donut. He believes that enjoying donuts shouldn't be limited to breakfast, so Wake and Bake is open all day. Wake and Baked Donuts. wakeandbakedonuts.square.site. And we have two pictures here. One is of the classic glazed donut from Britt's Donuts, a stack of them and one on the side. And then the other one is an assortment of donuts from the Wake and Bake shop, with sprinkles, some with like strawberry jam and some cream on top. There's one covered in chocolate and graham crackers crumbles and marshmallows stuck in the chocolate. There's some with cereal, looks like maybe Fruit Loop cereal stuck to the top. And another one with some other colorful cereal stuck to the top. There's one with a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup half, and it looks like maybe a peanut butter glaze. And more and more sprinkles and a maple. Looks like that might be maple icing with bacon sprinkled on it, some purple sprinkles, and some white chocolate. Makes me hungry to look at it. Island time, Bald Head Island. Mornings on Bald Head Island are slow and peaceful. The island is accessible only by passenger ferry, meaning that the noise of passing cars is practically non-existent. Here, golf carts rule the road, and high-rises are nowhere to be seen. People strive to live in harmony with nature. 200 acres of beachfront, Dune Ridge, maritime forests, and marsh ecosystems. And while the island certainly promotes secluded relaxation, there are still opportunities to strike up conversations and make new friends in town or at church. And the two pictures here, we've got one, the village chapel of Bald Head Island was dedicated after the sunrise service on Easter Sunday in 1987. The moment was a reminder that joy, as the psalmist says, comes in the morning. And it's a very interesting building. It has, of course, traditional church-type windows with the point at the top and squared off at the bottom, and shutters that match the shape as well that are opened. And that makes it the windows almost look like angel wings, the way that they're opened. And we've got the door is also has a point at the top and rounded up toward the top and squared off at the bottom, of course, and a very simple round window in the front. And lower beneath that, two square windows with cross hatching in the very small windows. It's kind of a robin's egg blue color with white trim. And it looks very nice with the surrounding trees and such. In the back, you can see the steeple with some gabling on the steeple. And then on the other page, there's a picture of looking out all over a marshy area with probably a live oak tree. Yeah, the live oak tree with kind of gnarled look and some mossy growth on the tree looking out over. This little vignette is entitled A New Day. This is Curie Beach. Built in 1923, the Curie Beach Pier holds the proud title of the oldest pier on the Atlantic coastline. But the distinction has come with a lot of trials. L.C. Curie built the first structure, which deteriorated from sea worms after just a year. Three subsequent piers followed and were all significantly damaged by hurricanes Hazel, Diane, and Bertha, respectively. The current pier was built by Curie's grandson and raised 26 feet to withstand turbulent weather. The Curie family probably understands better than most the hope that a sunrise symbolizes. Expectations and new beginnings are heavy burdens for pink clouds and golden light to bear, but the sky carries it all with ease. And there are two pictures here. One is just a picture looking out over the water with a speedboat cutting across the foreground of the picture. And probably either a sunrise or sunset, it doesn't say, but a sun in the horizon with golden light in the sky, also golden light reflected on the waterfront as well. And on the other side of the page, on the there's a picture from the shoreline looking up at the pier, sort of onto the right of the picture, and waves rolling in, and then at the end of the pier, it looks like you can see the sun peeking over the end of the pier as it's rising, and birds flying, and folks already out fishing in that morning. Drift Coffee and Kitchen, Ocean Isle Beach, Wilmington, at Wrightsville Beach. A fun-filled day at the beach shouldn't start on an empty stomach or without a cup of coffee. Having grown up traveling the world as competitive surfers, brothers Michael and Ben Powell knew this well, which was part of their motivation for starting Drift Coffee and Kitchen. Their cafes serve drinks made with beans from black and white coffee roasters in Raleigh, and dishes that help beachgoers fuel up, like smoothie bowls, eggs served with crispy strips of bacon, and fluffy pancakes topped with fresh fruit. Their email address is driftcoffee.kitchen. The breakfast entrees at Drift satisfy sweet and savory preferences. Try the berry stack with an iced latte or the smoked salmon eggs Benedict with a flat white. And there we have pictures of both of those dishes. And it's interesting, the berry stack, actually, if those are pancakes, they're very thick. They're probably a good half inch thick. And they're not so big. They maybe look like they're about the size of an English muffin. So maybe 3 inches in diameter. But they're coated with looks like a fresh fruit and a berry compote and some whipped cream and edible flour, and then the salmon eggs Benedict looks really nice as well. It's very colorful and with some microgreens on top for decoration. The next little story is called Golden Hour, and it's about Beaufort. In Beaufort, when the sun is up, the boats are in motion. Established as a fishing village in the late 1600s on what is now the intracoastal waterway, the town has a rich boating culture. Vessels of all shapes and sizes, from skiffs to pontoons to yachts, bob in the slips lining Taylor's Creek. In the early morning, boaters cast off, ready to embrace a new day and whatever adventures await. And your reader is a big fan of Beaufort. I spent summers there. I love that little town. And the picture that's shown here is, it is golden because the sun is coming up over the town, and the water is reflecting just a golden hue from the sunrise. And there's a Grady White boat in the foreground on the end of Front Street, looking back toward downtown. Stack 'em High, Kill Devil Hills, and Kitty Hawk. Perry Kiosis was sitting on the Avalon Pier with his wife Kiki and sons Nick and Steve when he declared, "We're going to open a restaurant." He made good on his promise in 1981 when he opened a pancake house in Kill Devil Hills. Today, Nick and his wife Dawn run the original restaurant, while Steve and his wife Christine run a second location in Kitty Hawk. Lines of people wrap around both buildings as early as 7 a.m. to order cafeteria style, picking up coffee and juice before placing an order. By the time folks choose a seat, their breakfast, pancakes, and other classics like French toast and eggs made to order is close behind. You can check them out at stackemhigh.com and also stackemhighpancakesandsoforth.com. And there's several pictures here. It says, Stack'em High has remained a family affair at the Kitty Hawk location. Chef Steve's wife, Christine, often jumps in to take orders while their daughter, Amelia, and son, Alex, take turns bussing tables. And Amelia's 11 and Alex is 8. And they have their pictures there. And they have, this is kind of cute, it's a stack of pancakes, but they're in concentric circles, so that each one is smaller than the other. And there's a dollop of whipped cream on top and mounds of powdered sugar. And on the facing page, you've then got, looks like breakfast potatoes and an omelet with looks like a cream gravy drizzled across the top, 2 eggs, sunny side up with bacon. Toast, looks like homemade bread toast there, and another stack of pancakes, and looks like some grits, and another omelet. Looks pretty good. Some OJ. Shift change, Nag's Head. When the third iteration of the Body Island Lighthouse opened in 1872, its keepers were the only people around for miles. The closest school and community were in Manio on Roanoke Island, which was only accessible by boat. After working through stormy nights, helping shifts navigate to safety, keepers surely found solace in the rising sun, a different sort of light guiding mariners over calmer seas. And you have a picture of the lighthouse, with looking from the waterside. It's a reflection, so you see a reflection of the lighthouse in the water, very still water. And a reflection of the outbuildings and the trees as well. It's a very, very nice picture. And the colors in the sky range from purple to yellow to orange. And then into the water, there's blues reflecting the sky above. Very nice picture. A swell morning, Avon. The early bird gets the wave, at least when it comes to birds who like to hang ten. The Avon Pier is a popular surfing spot year-round, but summer, especially July, is the best time for shredding. Surfers love the area for its clean, consistent swells, which offer longer rides in light wind conditions. When you paddle out in the early morning light, chances are you'll catch a good wave. And Avon is on NC Highway 12, of course, along the Outer Banks, the Northern Outer Banks. Surfer Lily Ratliff of Buxton takes her board out to Avon Pier first thing in the morning to catch the best waves. Opened in 1963, the pier is a Hatteras Island landmark. And we do have a picture of Lily surfing in that early morning sunlight. The sun is just up, looks just for a few minutes. And she's surfing along the pier, alongside the pier. Kayak Carolina, Carolina Beach. After departing from Zeke's Island Reserve, Angela Caldwell Marsh and her Sunrise Tour Group paddle toward Fort Fisher in the pre-dawn light. There they spot night herons, black skimmers, and great egrets. Marshall has offered the tour since founding Kayak Carolina in 1998, and her favorite part is that the sunrise is different each and every day. Every time, she sits in awe and anticipation, watching a blank canvas transform into a showcase of color. For more information, check the website kayakcarolina.com. And again, most of these pictures are showing sunrise photos in the at the coast. And here we're at water's level, and we're watching two kayakers paddling out into the water. It's very calm water, not completely still, but calm, no swells. And then peeking up over the dunes is the sun, and the colors are, the water is dark, but the colors in the sky are go from pale yellow to darker yellow to even orange and some purple. Beautiful pictures there. As I said before, the theme of this issue is it's called the Lighthouse Issue, actually, on the front cover. It's entitled the Lighthouse Issues. And for centuries, our seaside sentinels have stood tall through wild storms, wars, and shifting sands to light a path to hope. Today, these beacons and their keepers reflect the enduring beauty and resilience of our coast. And we're going to cover six lighthouses, or actually seven lighthouses. And I'll tell you a little bit about each one, and then as we go through each episode, we'll learn a little bit more about each one, or a lot a bit more. So we've got the first one is the Currituck Beach Lighthouse, and it's the northernmost on the Upper Outer Banks. It's in Kerala. This is one of those few U.S. lighthouses whose first order Fresnel lens, the largest and most powerful variety of lighthouse lenses, still flashes. It was built in 1875. It is 162 feet tall and has 220 steps to get to the top. And the next one is the Body Island Lighthouse in Nag's Head. The current lighthouse is the third to exist along this section of the Outer Banks. The second was blown up by Confederate forces in 1861 in order to prevent its use as a Union lookout. So it was built a few years before Currituck Beach, and it's built in 1872, and this is the current one. It's 156 feet high and has 214 steps to reach the top. Cape Hatteras, the famous Cape Hatteras Lighthouse in Buxton. It's the tallest brick lighthouse in the country, roughly equal to a 12-story building, but you'll have to wait a bit to make the climb. The monument is currently undergoing restoration efforts. And so here's its superlatives. It was built in 1870. It's 198 feet tall, and there are 269 steps to reach the top. Going on down the coast, the next one in line is Ocracoke. Ocracoke was built in 1823. It's only 75 feet tall, and there's 86 steps to reach the top. It's Ocracoke on Ocracoke Island, of course. It's small but mighty. Our state's shortest lighthouse is also the oldest in operation. It was first lit 2 centuries ago, and it's been shining from dusk to dawn ever since. And then the one that's near and dear to my heart is Cape Lookout on the South Shore Banks. It was built in 1859. It's 156 feet tall and has 207 steps. And mariners have long used this iconic facade as a directional aid. Whether the white diamonds or the black ones are fully visible tells sailors if they're traveling east, west, or north-south, respectively. And I apologize, I should have been describing these lighthouses as I went along, but I will do that right at the end. Then there's Old Baldy on Bald Head Island. In the early days, lighthouse keepers whitewashed the stucco that covered this brick structure to protect its outer layer. Today, its patchwork exterior reflects its title of oldest lighthouse in the state. It was built in 1817. It's 110 feet tall, and it has 108 steps to reach the top. And then last but not least is Oak Island at Caswell Beach. The top of our newest lighthouse, built out of concrete in just 1 week, is only accessible via steep metal ship ladders rather than a sweeping spiral staircase. And it's the newcomer. It's built in 1958, 153 feet tall, and 131 steps. Going back and starting back at Currituck Beach, this lighthouse, I think I've seen all of these lighthouses. Currituck Beach is really unusual in that it's a red brick with the black at the top, the trim at the top. And the house beneath it, at its base, the keeper's house, is also a red brick. It's a very pretty color if you see it in person. It's very nice. Then we've got Body Island, and it's black and white stripes, horizontal stripes. Then, of course, Cape Hatteras with its candy cane stripes, black and white, with a red and white base. Very nice. Ocracoke, of course, it's white. And then you've got Cape Lookout, which has had diamond pattern, black and white diamond pattern. And as the little vignette I read a minute ago, it helps sailors know if they're traveling east-west or north and south, depending on what they see, the white diamonds or the black diamonds. And as was mentioned a moment ago, Old Baldy is whitewashed structure. And then Oak Island is sort of a gray and white, and gray at the bottom, then a white rim around the middle, and then gray at the top. All right, a couple of little short things here that we will wrap up our episode with. It's called Washed Ashore. It's the Tar Heel timeline. A couple of interesting little anecdotes here. Shark teeth, ancient shipwrecks, deadly jellyfish, and spaceship debris. Keep an eye out when roaming our beaches. You never know what surprises are lying at the water's edge. Just south of Salvo, Erasmus Midget rescues 10 crew members from the wreck of the Priscilla, a cargo vessel bound for Brazil. That was in 1899. In 1933, the G.A. Kohler, a schooner headed to Haiti, wrecks off the coast of North Carolina during a hurricane. The wood from the ship is used to build what is now Lifeboat Community Church in Salvo. We will cover some more of those little tidbits of Washed Ashore in future episodes. That music means that we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Martha Potter, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available to podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening. So long till next time.